Hey, what's up, YouTube? This is Perry with Premier Guitar here in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking with the dudes from Deaf Heaven. Very excited about this. This is awesome. Yeah. And they are kind enough to actually literally move their entire setup to another venue inside of the same venue so that we can see all this because there's another band sound checking. So we're going to start with both you guys because you're both playing the 6505, correct?
Yeah.
Cool, cool.
Yeah, I guess the story behind this amp is for years, at the beginning of the band, we had a bass player when we were all really, really broke. And he, our first bass player, pretty much bought all this gear to allow us to be able to essentially gig.
Play, sure.
And we had, he had a Ampeg V4, which I loved. But the problem with it is those are obviously notoriously moody.
Oh, yeah.
So we would take it to get fixed all the time. We took it on tour and it broke. All this stuff just kept happening. And on top of that, it was all his stuff. So eventually I had saved up a little bit of money. And those who know me know I'm not exactly the most gear-centric guy on the planet. But so I was asking for his opinion on stuff. And he was like, you should try the 6505. And so I saved up about $350 to $400, I think, and got this off Craigslist. So this is the first 6505 I ever got, and it essentially just the second I played it, I fell in love with it. It's like, it's essentially a tank. You can drop this thing off of a roof and it'll still play.
I dropped one down a set of stairs once and it still works. Yeah,
it's pretty great. I've only had to get it repaired had it for 6 years now. Only had to get it repaired like 3 times.
What have you had done to it?
Nothing too crazy, just like, tubes. You know, tubes replaced, but you know, nothing that crazy. To this day, when it's working, it's my favorite PV we have. We have a sponsorship now from PV. So, we all play PV stuff. He's got a 6534 plus.
I actually grew up playing 5150s when I was a kid and then 6505, you know, it's just like
a natural.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's essentially the story behind this. So this is the first one I ever got. And then I think sometime in the last 2 years, we met up with PV and they were interested in working with us. And so they've been super helpful. They send us amps whenever we need them.
Awesome.
And they've even shipped them to overseas for fests when we've needed them. Or it's like, there was one time where something broke down and we were like in Chicago and they shipped it, overnighted it from Austin. Yeah,
that's
they've
awesome.
Super helped us out. So that's a big, big shout out for there. On top of that, it's like my favorite amp to play now, live at least. So
I've always loved a 5150. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the 6505 is very, very similar.
Yeah.
However, I have not played the 34 version.
Mm-hmm.
Do you play that intentionally to make it a different?
I don't actually play that. That's our spare.
Yeah, that's our spare.
Oh, you have a spare. Okay, cool.
The 34, right?
Yeah.
It's just a little brighter, the plus.
Yeah, sure. We went through like a whole series of them. Like we always ask for 6505s up front, essentially, when we can get them.
Yeah.
But there was a time or something when we wanted to get the same amps in Europe because I don't know if what it is, the 6505 pluses is what they were giving us in Europe, and they're great, but I think they're a little bit more for like the tech death metal guys.
Oh, it's a little more pointed.
It's a little bit more bright, and it's like for people.
Tone is really sharp.
Yeah, so for us, it's not exactly what we needed.
We can make it work if it really, it's all
Yeah.
So with the 34, like, have you had to play it live yet?
Yeah, that's what I was getting to. Yeah.
Once in a while, and sometimes if our amps like fuck up or something.
But yeah, we also, I mean, that's the other thing is that's the reason we picked that amp is because it's the closest to the 6505, at least in our experience. So.
Sure. Well, obviously, I mean, it's running EL34, so mm-hmm. it stands to reason that it might have more of a, like, a British kind of sound. Do you feel like it sounds more like classic?
Like Marshall-y?
Or classic rock? Yeah,
yeah.
I guess.
It does,
like
a little bit, rock. Yeah.
A little more.
It's a little more synthetic almost.
I'm guessing it has the same presence control, so can you get the gain out of it?
Yeah, you can. Totally. The only thing that's the difference is I believe it has two EQs.
One for the,
yeah.
The clean tone.
They're separate.
The yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's cool.
Really work as well as this one.
For me, our whole thing is always the less knobs, the better, in my opinion. So, it's a great amp. We used it for the entirety. I think we both used it for the Lamb of God tour. We both used it for some portions of the Paul Bear tour. So we use it all the time. But Yeah, the knight in shining armor is the 6505.
It's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. Are you guys doing a lot of channel switching or any kind of?
Yeah, that's pretty much what we do.
Every channel.
Yeah, there's we don't have any distortion. We do have distortions for like.
It's all head.
It's all head. Yeah.
And this one particularly sounds really good.
I honestly, I'm with you guys. I've never heard a better overdrive distortion sound for like the kind of music that I like, obviously like metal and hardcore and punk and stuff, than a like the 5150 or a 6505. Yeah. There's nothing that does that.
In general is usually better.
Yeah, and like when we had the V4 situation, we also had a bunch of some VTM-60s and VTM-120s, which are great. If we could have those, I would use those. But the only thing with that is they're single channel amps, so you got
to
roll back on the volume if you want
to.
So the reason is just that we use these is it's essentially the best of both worlds with that.
Totally.
And I've had some, you know, tone snob friends who've been curious to that we can get good clean tone out of these, but I've never had a problem with
That's where I was going with it. If you played 5150s before, you know, hey, I love that amp more than anything. It's obviously not a clean platform for anything. So did they correct it with this?
Do you think
this is better?
I think so. I mean, back then, I never even used the clean tone. It was metal shit. But I think this one has really clear, kind of warm, clean tone.
Exactly. And it's, you know, you're not going to get like a Fender Twin.
I was
going to
say, it's obviously not going to sound like a Fender or a Marshall, but.
For us, we can make it work for our purposes.
No, with your clean channel, are you setting that at like something clean with a ton of headroom as a pedal platform kind of to work with the amp? Or is it something where you're throwing pedals on whether there's distortion or it's clean or?
Our whole goal with the clean tone is usually headroom. This is like really loud, but usually I'm like 3 or 4 on pre and post is at like 7 or 8. Yeah, so it's the most, I'm trying to get it loud, but the maximum amount of headroom possible.
Clearest you can possibly get to.
But again, we also with, you know, anyone who listens to the band will know that there's a ton of like effects on the distortion stuff as well. It doesn't really ever sound muddy or anything. So.
Yeah.
It's usually pretty cool.
Well, that's awesome. Hey, I really appreciate you guys talking amps with me. Mm-hmm. We're going to go through everybody's pedal board individually now. And so we'll start with Carrie.
Sure.
Cool. All right, Carrie, I want to talk pedals, but before we do that, you got to tell me about these Dunnables, man. These are awesome.
Yeah,
so do you know Sasha?
Yeah, we met Sasha on a tour in 2014, I believe. We did. We were both supporting Between the Baird and Me. And they're great guys, and like, but they were all like on their bus for the most part, which was cool because they were luckily to let us all take over their green rooms. But so anyway, so for the most part, that tour was pretty much just us and Intronaut just hanging out the whole time. And so we just kind of became like buds off that tour, and we saw his guitars that he was making, and so we asked him about it, and he was like, yeah, sure, I'd love to make you guys some. And so he made us some for like a pretty good discounted price. Including this, the one he gave me. This is a Moonflower, I believe, is what it's called.
But so rad.
Yeah, usually he has like the finged or the pickup switch down here, and I had it switched up here, and then he has like tone knobs and stuff. But I was like, all I want is just a big volume,
just one
essentially.
Big knob.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, this is pretty reminiscent of your Les Paul.
Yeah.
With a, you know, with
the
trim and stuff. Was that were you going for something similar?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, cool. I was asking just to throw another Kaler on there, and he totally did it. But it's like it's just the same thing. Like I wanted like the Gibson heaviness or whatever, but with the wavy possibilities of a Kaler.
For the shoegazy stuff. Sure, yeah, that makes sense. So is this, were you like, hey, this is kind of exactly like I want, or was he like, hey?
It's a little bit of both.
Okay.
Again, like I don't claim to be the world's most biggest guitar expert, but I was essentially just like, you know, I'd love to have one of your guitars, but just kind of like do what you like. I just told him like whatever you think would make our sound best, but like in terms of like a Les Paul. So like I essentially make your version of a Les Paul for me at a Kaler, just one knob. And I just let him do his thing, and he came out with this awesome guitar.
Does it feel close? Like, is it the same scale, length, and everything?
It's a little bit.
Because it looks long. Yeah,
it's jumbo frets, which is one of the things that he likes to do, which I like too. I've got big chunky fingers, and the weight is about the same. I believe these are walnut or what? Oak? What do you know? What these are? Sorry, I shouldn't.
No, it's fine.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, but it's a gorgeous piece of wood either way. And then what pickups, or is that something that you wanted, or is he was like,
this is, it's some sort of a boutique humbucker Gibbs. It's some sort of Les Paul copy. Again, like, I'm far from an expert.
He knows all that stuff.
But yeah, totally. It's literally, he just told me it's like a better version of humbuckers. So
very cool, very cool. Yeah. And then you have this, you're playing this one as well, right?
Yeah.
If you don't mind, I'm going to pick this up to show these guys, because it rules.
Yeah.
I love this giant knob.
Dude, yeah, it's a kill switch, exactly.
Badass. Yeah.
He was trying to get rid of this thing for a minute. It used to be like light blue. And I was like, hey, I got this guitar that the guy doesn't want. Tell me what you want done to it, and I'll just give it to you. And so he showed up right before our LA show a couple months ago and just gave it to us. So he gave Shiv his guitar too. So yeah, he's been a killer guy, and he makes great stuff.
This is a great looking guitar.
Oh,
man.
It's
I'm
awesome.
Loving that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Do you have any idea what these are?
I don't. He just kind of shows up, and I just let him.
Man, it's hard to probably see on camera, but they almost look like paper.
Yeah.
Or something like
that. It's like a weird, like, little, it's like a weird, like, he puts like these wood finishes or something on them. Yeah. I don't know what it is. So.
Very, very cool. Well, right on. All right. Now let's get to the fun stuff.
Yeah.
Pedals and metal. All right, cool. Yeah. So, all right, walk me through your signal chain, and then I guess we can probably demo some sounds.
Yeah. So this is just obviously your average Ernie Ball volume pedal.
Cool.
I've had this for like 6 years, and it's
never broken.
Down. Yeah.
Huh.
Which is weird because I use it a lot.
I mean, touring. Not that Ernie Ball stuff is not incredible.
No, yeah,
it's just
exactly.
When you're on tour, you're throwing stuff around.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm on like my fourth Memory Man now, but and then I run that out of. Into the a TU-2 or whatever, and or that's a TU-3 actually. My old one was a TU-2. And then this is the, I call it the Blue Memory Man, but people know it as the Stereo Memory Man with Hazari. Again, I don't know what Hazari is or anything like that, but this is like the main go-to thing for, this is like one of the first pedals that I had with the band.
And that's where you're getting a lot of your washy, weird.
Yeah, that's everything from like just straight, you know, full on delay to the reverse reverb stuff that I do on the shoegazy stuff. Again, like this, I've literally gone through like five of these over the years because I'm stepping on them so much every night.
What's your go-to setting on that pedal?
It's pretty much this. I usually have it on the 3-second echo with the blend at 12, the decay at 0. Filter is at either 75 or 50% depending on, or 12 o'clock or 3 o'clock depending on the song. For the New Bermuda stuff, it's usually filtered so at the 3 o'clock setting. But for the old, for some of the other stuff, it's usually at 12 o'clock. Then the repeats is usually at 12, and the delay, I never really use this except for on our Mogwai cover, which is like a weird, because it's a whole different setting for the reverse reverb
totally
thing.
Totally different. Kick that bad boy on, let me hear it.
Yeah, sure.
I'm curious about this Blue Memory Man.
Yeah, here, I'll show you the Mogwai thing. So I looked up this, I literally YouTubed one day the how to do Kevin Shields stuff.
You found a video?
I found a video with this thing. And this is whenever I do the song, it's literally just this with no other pedals. It's this and distortion. And I pretty much always, people who see us live will know that I check it to make sure it's got that thing going. And essentially, it just says that.
Okay, yeah.
And there's no reverb or anything on it at all. And so when you throw it on distortion and do this, you get like a cool like. It's very
oddly singy.
Yeah,
it's like
exactly.
Got this weird. Yeah, that's.
It's
so
like a wavy chorus of angels or something.
Yeah,
I don't even know what it is. But
it also like saves your wrist from.
Absolutely, it's one of the few songs I don't have to be going like this the whole time. Yeah,
yeah, totally.
So,
very, very neat.
Yeah, there's that, and then for the most part though, for the other 98% of the set, I'm usually just something like, you know, like. You know, just
the
normal.
Delay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's that. After that is the Morley Crybaby, which I think Shiv gave to me. Which is, you know, just your average. Everybody knows that guy. After that is the, the Boss Space Echo clone, essentially. It's like, you know,
it's
the pedal version of their their Space Echo without all the tape stuff. But yeah, I have that set on pretty much one setting for the most part. This comes into a couple times in the set. The end of Come Back is this pedal, which is just this and some reverb.
Little
is
RV6, yeah. Man, it's interesting to see the way you use trem, because like obviously these trems were invented, you know, when people started really using trems like that in the 80s, it was like,
yeah, exactly.
It's and to see somebody do the very subtle, yeah, like super, like almost like Red House Painters thing with it, it's right. Like, oh, I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of the thing is like, it's the difference between, I guess, it's like, you know, not a Floyd Rose. I'm not doing
where you're like,
the dive bomb thing. Yeah, but it's also, we're playing like metal, heavier metal influenced music, but also with the waviness. That's why people thought I was crazy when I showed up with that blue Gibson.
Especially but, without any kind of locking mechanism. Like, yeah, do you have any trouble with it?
No, that's the weirdest thing. And the same thing is on the Les Paul. People are always like, how's your guitar stay in tune? And obviously I'm not leaning on
you're
it
not
like crazy.
Cranking, but still, yeah.
It's still something. And it's, yeah, it's, I don't know what it is about Kalers, but I've never had any problem with them at all. So
now, are you running a thicker gauge string to kind of compensate for any of that?
Not really. I'm just on tens.
Tens.
Yeah, yeah. That's it.
Cool.
It's like, you know, I struggled back and forth between, you know, heavy bottoms or heavy tops, light bottoms, all that kind of thing. But
just run a standard set now.
Yeah, I'm literally just doing. We got a D'Addario sponsorship, so I just do the NYXLs. Tens, and it's been perfect.
I know, those are like a newer string. Are they coated or anything?
I don't know.
Because I've heard people say that they're like really hard to break, and you know.
They are really hard to break. Right, that's yeah, for sure. We literally and we abuse the hell out of these.
I was gonna say playing in a metal band, especially yeah, with a trem.
That's, and we go like probably it's like once a week or something. We're changing these, so we're not the most kindest people to our gear, but there you go.
Cool. And now we're on to one of my favorite pedals, man. That Grand Orbiter is something
yeah,
else. Yeah,
this
yeah.
Is,
show me how you're using that bad boy.
Yeah, and this is pretty much, I've just got this, just almost like just for some subtlety during the set. This is the, you know, keep the rate kind of low. And, you know, just again, just this and the RV5 or whatever, this is the, this is for the baby blue sound on the record is the. So yeah, I actually, that part was originally written on the Earthquaker Rainbow Machine or whatever. But you can, you know, that's a crazy pedal, but if you adjust it the right way, it can just be a chorus, essentially like a super chorus.
Sure, yeah.
And on, I think, probably the last time I did one of these videos, I was working on that riff at the time. But yeah, so that's kind of just replaced my chorus pedal. It's not a chorus pedal, but it's like,
it does just, the modulation.
It does the things that I need. Yeah, the few times I need that during the set, that's what I use. And then, we come to the RV5, yeah, which is just, you know, I had a Holy Grail for years, and I like the Holy Grail a lot. And it's literally just something as we were somewhere in Germany or something, and my Holy Grail, again, I abused the hell out of it, and it broke. And so they only had an RV5. I bought it, and
it worked fine.
I haven't really looked back. So,
do you have a preference, or do you even notice the
difference?
You know,
I just stick it on hall.
Hall, yeah.
I keep the time at the time or the length or whatever at. Yeah, the time's at about 1-2 o'clock, and everything else is, you know, the hall setting and everything else is about 12 o'clock, and that's pretty much just does it for you. This is again like. All the clean, pretty stuff. It's just long enough to where like it's there, but like it's not nothing super crazy, you know.
And hearing it in person, that 65x5 clean side is definitely improvement
exactly.
From the 5150.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Cool.
And so yeah, that's the thing is like had Nick from Touche Amore actually texted me one day when they were on tour in Europe and all they could get, they're usually using Fender Twins. And he said, they showed up and all they had was 6505s. And he was like, dude, these work for you, right? Like, you don't have any problems with them? And I was like, yeah, I mean, it's good for me. I'm not like a big tone snob or anything.
Quite a bit difference in the tones of you guys though.
Yeah, oh, totally. Like, yeah. But he said once he was like, oh yeah, I just want to make, because there's certain amps that I totally complained at him about having to use for clean tone. But yeah, I was like, yeah, you're good. And I asked him how it went afterwards, and he was like, oh, I actually love that amp. Yeah. So yeah.
Rules.
Yeah.
I know you're not a super gear centric dude. You've said that in interviews before, but has any of this gear inspired your playing? Like, for example, I know on the demo you wrote almost everything on acoustic guitar,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Have any of these pedals, like, you kicked it on and been like, oh shit, that's a riff? Like,
yeah, a little. I mean, with the Memory Man mostly.
Sure.
The Memory Man is like, that's the end of Sunbather again with the Mogwai cover. I think for Vertigo, there's like a bunch of wavy stuff. We use the reverse echo on that. But for the most part, I wrote that stuff on acoustic because that was like out of necessity. That was the only
sure.
stuff we had at the time. But so now when I'm writing at home, I literally have like a big cab like this, and then PV sent me and Shiv each like a little mini. They have these mini 6505
yeah,
heads that
are cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
They're cool. Amazing. So I literally just sit there with one of those and my pedal board and just kind of mess around. But again, for the most part, yeah, it's my whole thing has just been like, if a riff sounds good enough acoustically,
it's gonna sound great.
Then it's just gonna be improved when you
sure.
when you run it through.
Yeah, 100% with you on that.
So yeah.
Okay, so one last question about the 6505.
Mm-hmm.
It looks here like, you know, your pre-gain is only at like a 4,
mm-hmm.
and your post-gain is just past 5?
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
So without pedals, is there any way I could hear just the clean and then just the filthy?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool,
clean
cool.
is just... pretty sparkly.
Again, that's night and day.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then, the distortion is again, next level. It's pretty much what sold me on the amp. It's just, like... insanely chuggy. So that's
That does the trick for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, cool, man. I appreciate you taking the time
to
talk to us. We're going to talk to Shiv about his pedals and stuff, and you guys have an awesome show.
Sounds good, man.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, now we got Shiv. We're going to talk about your Dunnable, obviously. Right. This looks a little reminiscent to a Jazzmaster. Is that kind of what you were going for?
Yeah, the first one he made me was a Jag body, but this one's called the Yeti. It does have a similar vibe, though.
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily like, you know, pickups or anything, but it does like
it has
the shape.
Yeah,
it does look fast.
Yeah,
it's
awesome. All about that.
And also, again, one knob, love that.
Same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Mm-hmm. And do you know what pickups are in this bad boy?
He said he took them out of an old Les Paul. I think they're 57 like classics or
cool.
something.
Yeah. Awesome. Very, very cool. And is that pretty much your number one? Or are you running anything else?
This is the one I'm using now. We were using a Gibson sponsorship for a bit. I'm still using my Gibson. It's just he gave me this guitar and it's just been fucking really
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
So.
Plus it looks awesome. The
appointments are so
cool. I love that.
The first one he made me was just all silver. Wanted the like mirror pick guard and just, you know. But he made me a similar one that I really like.
Cool.
It's just heavier, you know.
Yeah, and I talked to Carrie about it, but the scaling looks a lot longer.
It does.
This looks more like a Fender scaling, almost even longer.
Yeah, and it's got the wide.
Super wide
frets
and stuff. Cool. Mm-hmm. Now your pedal board is a little more lean and mean.
Yeah, it's just simple.
But you got
man.
Some really fun stuff on here. Like, walk me through this.
Yeah, I've got the freeze pedal, which mm-hmm. you know I use for interludes and stuff. It's just soaring stuff. You can kind of just, you know, latch onto like whatever root note you're playing with on a clean part or something.
And it'll just continue to kind of
yeah. I mean, you can even use it where it doesn't like just set until your foot's off. So.
Oh, as soon as you take your foot off.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
Like, you know.
It's a cool momentary feature. Yeah, that's
awesome. Exactly.
And then Holy Grail.
Got the Holy Grail, which, you know, we barely use the reverb. I use it really lightly, just like. Like,
cool.
You know.
A little bit of a splash on there.
Yeah, just a little bit. And then the DD7, it's my delay, tap tempo, a bunch of stuff. I had a big pedal board for a while, but I just kind of minimalized for tour purposes.
For tour, it makes a lot more sense to
mm-hmm.
not bring all your stuff with you. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And then are you using, is this a volume or a wah?
It's a wah, yeah, you know.
Nice. Cool, and that takes us to the Mel 9.
The Mel 9, I just picked that one up, actually. It's also good for clean parts, mainly all the pedals I use, like, I'll only use the delay on distortion parts, but yeah, this one's pretty good for just back. I don't use it too heavy on this, I use it really lightly, so it matches in with the guitars.
It's strange, that sound is strange because you definitely hear like almost like an unaffected signal, and then behind it you hear
I've got the dry going with the effect.
Cool, so you've got it pretty high, yeah.
Yeah, for sample purposes I'll just go straight with like, you know, like.
So fun and evil.
Yeah,
I love that.
It can be kind of cheesy, so you have to.
You gotta be careful with it.
Yeah, exactly. It's got some cool like choir settings that I use on parts too, but like I said, I mix it in with the dry.
That dry mix on there is so key.
Yeah, it helps.
You can really add a point to it and like,
yeah,
have it kind of.
Exactly,
have
and
a
it
more
just
direction.
Kinda adds a background effect to the actual guitar part.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, man.
Are you running 10s as well?
I play 11s, but NYXLs also.
Sure, same deal, yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome, man. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to walk us through all this stuff and help demystify a very
right
mystifying sound. So this is great, man. This is Perry with Premier Guitar. Thanks, guys, for tuning in.
Check
out our other rig rundowns, review demos, all that fun stuff, and definitely check out New Bermuda. See you guys.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.